Welcome to Beyond the Frontline Podcast, where your hosts, U.S. Air Force veterans, Donna Hoffmeyer and Jay Johnson, will help you transition from the front line to the home front. Listen every other Wednesday, as they will bring great conversations, resources, tips, and feel-good stories that will resonate and relate. Now, here's your hosts, Donna Hoffmeyer and Jay Johnson.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Front Lines. This is Jay Johnson. We're always excited to bring you these. And as always, I'm joined by the other half of this equation, my good friend, my collaborator, my partner in crime, Donna Hoffmeyer. Donna, what's going on?
What's up? We are separate houses. We talked about not hanging out today at your house because our house is full of COVID. So between my husband and my son, they tested positive. I am suspecting, I tested negative, but I still have these little symptoms. So I'm suspecting maybe I might be positive.
I hope that's not true, but we're doing this from our respective homes again today.
We are, just to be safe. And it's all mild. We're all fine, but we're all chilling here. I'm sitting in my closet. Jay is looking at me in my closet right now, checking out my wardrobe. And I have my dog at my feet here. So we're...
Yeah, normally we're in studio together, it's true, but today we're two different places, and I've got Donna on video screen. We can see each other. I know the listeners, y'all are just getting this by audio, but I made a comment to Donna earlier. I mean, she's put together, and I'm sitting here with a Pink Floyd t-shirt on and have a hat on.
You're styling.
So we got a pretty cool episode teed up here. I think, Donna, right? We're pretty fluid. That's the word you use. I like to say we're organic. We have kind of a topical theme, but we come together just to share each other's thoughts and kind of give our listeners something to ruminate over is the right word. I love to say marinate in those instances, but we're going to get them thinking and percolating over some things. We're going to talk about volunteering and serving today.
Mm-hmm. It's a great topic.
I think so.
Important topic.
It is an important topic. So maybe, Donna, how about we do this? We're going to both share a little bit about our experience when we were in uniform.
Yep.
And volunteer opportunities came up. I have a way I like to phrase that. I'll share that in a minute. And then we're going to talk about why this is important to everybody. And we're going to talk about how they can look for ways right where they're at, whether that's on a military installation or out in their community, and why they should consider this and how it can benefit them. Is that a good roadmap for kind of what we're going to talk about?
That's a great roadmap.
Okay. So you know what, Donna, if I just take our listeners back, because I don't ever want to assume that everyone listening to this podcast has heard all of our previous, but I had the pleasure of serving in uniform just under 11 years as an enlisted guy and just a little over 11 years as, or just under, I guess, also 11 years as a commissioned officer. All through my career, there were opportunities to volunteer for things. And one of my very first bosses, Donna, he used to caveat it like this. He'd come up to me and he would say, "Jay, I have an opportunity for you to excel." And I always knew that was code for, "Jay, I'm looking for a volunteer." And look, I got to be honest with you, Donna, when those things popped up, I was always pretty open-minded. I was willing, as long as my job came first, whatever that was, my primary duty, that always came first, the mission at hand. But I was always willing to consider and look for opportunities to interact with other people on the installation that maybe I wouldn't otherwise get to, do things that were kind of outside of my normal day-to-day kind of thing. So I tried to find my way to yes a lot of times, and I actually really enjoyed that, and we'll share later how that helps me today. What's your experience in uniform volunteering?
Much different than out of uniform. I'm going to caveat that. So let me just set the scene. Is that I was medical in a hospital. I worked labor and delivery. I dabbled a teeny bit in the ER. I was a flight nurse. I was gone most of the time when I was a flight nurse. I'm just gonna set that scene, okay? So I personally felt we were not broached with these opportunities to excel in a positive light. So it was frequently broached, like, you need to have stuff on your OPR. You're not going to make rank if you don't have volunteer bullet on your OPR. it was always kind of come at that, like a box checking angle. And so here we are on any given day, right? And where I worked labor and delivery, I worked high risk labor and delivery. I mean, we're saving babies' lives. We're taking care of mommies. We're my friends that were in the ER and ICU, same thing. Everybody's taking care of people, saving lives. So when they say, oh, you need to volunteer to excel, the sarcastic side of me was like, so saving the baby's life wasn't an opportunity to excel? That wasn't enough for you? What else do you want me to do? So we kind of had a cynical view on that. And I'm being transparent and real here. And so the people that were volunteering for everything, they were viewed at just trying to schmooze. Maybe that's a real gentle way to say it. Schmooze their way to excel. Was that the right perspective? Of course not. We were just very overworked. You work three straight days that you got slammed and you're doing 12 and 15 and 16 hour days and you're dragging your butt back the next day, or you get in for a fourth day because you're the call nurse now. And then somebody's telling you, oh, you need to volunteer to, you know, do more to show that you're excelling. There's some choice words that are going on in my mind about volunteering at that moment, right? Now, having said that, if I was in more of a, I would say, stable environment where it wasn't like ram jam one day and then chilling the next and up and down, I probably would be more amenable to it. I definitely would be more like, hey, that would be interesting. But when you're weighing like how much time you have, how exhausted you are, and then they want you to give those opportunities to excel, as you nicely called them, we did what we had to. So did I do volunteer opportunities? Sure. But I did it my way. And I always made sure it was something that I really was interested in. Now, I did get the occasional voluntold. And some of those I'm like, oh, that was a good thing to learn. Oh, I'm glad I did that. So there was some hindsight on that. But when I was younger, they were just not brought to us in a positive light on how it would benefit us. Yeah. And it's really hard to sell that to the people that are already saving lives every day. I mean, what more are we going to do to excel at that point? That was the mindset. Now, probably not a really positive spin on volunteerism, is it?
Well, but it's uniquely your perspective. And I have, Donna, no doubt there's people listening who probably can relate to what you're saying. Because I certainly have had those experiences too. It's a lot easier to look at back at this point, right, look back at them and not have that emotional kind of frustration or attachment to, my goodness, I'm already inundated with all these things. It made me think of a funny story though, Donna. When I was on my way to basic training, right, when I enlisted in the Air Force, a friend of mine who was already on active duty in a different service, he said, Jay, no matter what you do, don't volunteer for anything. And I'm like, okay, I'll keep that in mind. And so now I'm in basic training and we're in this group setting and our drill instructor in the Air Force, we call them TIs, training instructor, is in front of us and doing what they do, pretty rigid environment, barking. And he just asked a very generic question out of the blue. It didn't fit anything else. He said, any bowlers in here? Any of you like to bowl? And I had bowled in a league for years as a young man. So I raised my hand and he said, outstanding, Airman Johnson, you're going to be our new latrine queen. I want those bowls spotless. So, so listening to you talk, leave some volunteer things that aren't so glamorous, but that's not really what I had in mind. Not that. And I know that's not what you were focused on really either, but I'm thinking about kind of some different things and I know how they shape me over time, but I think you bringing that in's real, Donna. I think it is all in how you couch it. And I think we have to be realistic when we're looking at someone's mission plate. But I also know this, Donna, real quick. I also know that there's a lot of things that need to happen and we're not man like we were pre-Cold War.
Oh, right.
Right? Pre-Cold War, we had a ton of people in uniform. And today the military services are pretty lean.
Well, I'll scroll ahead. I'll salvage myself a little bit because I probably sound like, you know, some obnoxious
person. Oh, no, you didn't.
But scroll ahead in my last job, just what you said, right? They didn't have the contracts for keeping the base nice and neat and keeping everything looking good. And you remember seeing it. All of a sudden, Randolph is surrounded by weeds. It was really rough. And they said, hey, we need volunteers to clean this up. Well, let me just give you the setup is that our directorate, to have divisions under a directorate, and all these divisions, the majority of them were civilians. And the only office that had a actual number of military was our office. And our enlisted were getting hit for everything. Every time, oh, well, we need a volunteer. And they would just keep taking and keep taking. And we're like, come on. There was no requirement. They didn't go to the officers because, oh, well, we're not going to ask you. You're a senior officer. And I was like, are you kidding me? So on that note, I was like, oh, you need base beautification? I'll go out. It's a beautiful day. I'll go out and do it. Oh, no, ma'am. I mean, you don't have to do that. You're a senior officer. I'm like, and? I said, you guys are tapping our people left and right. I said, they don't have time to do their job. So me and a couple of the senior enlisted and another officer, we went out. We had a grand old time. We went out and cut brush and rake leaves. And it was a beautiful day out. And nobody knew who we were because we had our, you know, PT gear on. But the ones that did know us gave us a little head turn like, hi. So to me, that was important. I liked being outside and I liked doing that. And two, I saw a need there. They were crushing our people. Yeah. And no, it didn't go on my OPR. So please don't ask that question.
And lawn maintenance. She excels at lawn maintenance.
Lawn maintenance, that's right. And
base beautification. That would have been the bullet right there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. So it's all in how some of that's presented. And so I take that. And now we're going to talk about transitioning out of the military. And if you had, I did, a little bit of a bad taste in your mouth, you might be a little more gun shy about getting out there and not knowing how to find those places, or maybe not be interested in doing that just because maybe you had, it was presented in more of a voluntold way. But now, Jay, that's what I want to talk about now is now that you have decided it's time to separate, it's time to retire, or you're getting separated from like a medical retirement or something like that. What is the importance of volunteerism now?
Well, I'm just going to trace back one little piece and then I'll answer and take us where what you just teed up, because I think that's fantastic. Is I didn't know it at the time, Donna, but there were things I did volunteering in uniform. And you, so for those listeners that may still be active duty, maybe it's not even about you're ready to transition right now, whether that's just leaving the service or retiring. I'm just going to ask you to look for those opportunities that may expose you to a different skill set or put you around people that you don't normally get to serve alongside. So here's an example. When you were just talking about some of the different things, like the base maintenance contract is what I would call it, lawn maintenance, base beautification. I was thinking about what are some of the different things that we may have been asked to volunteer and do over our military careers. Maybe we were fitness monitors, where we actually had to go out and keep track of the annual fitness test or semi-annual fitness test of our military members. Maybe we were safety NCOs or officers, where we were responsible for putting information out to our team on a recurring basis just to make sure they were mitigating risk or staying aware of risk and doing their part to keep us all in a good place. But here's some things that helped me, I will tell you. There were times when they had committees for, let's call it an annual awards committee. So it's a short-lived thing. Maybe you're starting 3 months in advance and you're going to be orchestrating an event that people are going to get fancied up for. They're going to put their formal military uniform on to attend and they're going to see some of their organizational members get recognized or base members get recognized for things they've done. I'll tell you, I learned a lot from doing that. And I will tell you that serves me even today in things I'm doing. So when you start talking about transition and talking about opportunities, this is really why I think this is important to our listeners, is maybe you don't know what you want to do next, and that's okay, I want to say, by the way, because I can't tell you how many times, Donna, that I've talked to someone who they're like, well, this is what I did in the military for X number of years. Again, whether it was 4, 8, or 20 or more than 20. And they're like, that's all I know. Well, are you in a pressing need right now to have to immediately jump back in the workforce? Or do you have time? For you, Donna, you've shared previously this introspective look that you went through. You had a little downtime and spent, I think, 6 months. I'll let you speak to your story. For me, I recognized that even though I was going to be a government civil servant, that I had really been wanting to do something outside the wire, outside the military installation. So mm-hmm. I got involved in my church. I got involved in a couple civic organizations. And so what I'm trying to say to all of you listeners, as I circle back to Donna, is just take time for you. If you don't know, get out there and volunteer and serve. And I think, Donna, you and I talked briefly about, you said, but how much is the time commitment? Well, I think this is really key. How about managing expectations? Hey, I'm really interested in what y'all are doing for the community. Maybe it's a Big Brothers, Big Sisters program. How much is the time commitment? Because I only have X amount of time available. Right. And that's managing expectation. But we're talking about uncovering opportunities and maybe tapping in to something that's going to bring you joy and happiness. What? How did you spend, just to recap your story, you took some time down to where I really didn't do that.
So it's funny. I was sitting here thinking about this as you were talking. And I thought, well, that's interesting, because I did take downtime. Like I made the joke that people would say, Donna, what are you doing in these first 6 months? I'm like, oh, I'm painting rocks. And they'd laugh. And I'm like, no, really, I'm painting rocks. But what I didn't even connect was I painted those rocks. I brought them down the road to a gentleman that was in AFPC, our HR guy, because his mom, like where he lives, his mom lives just two doors down and an aunt. And it's like a whole little family row there. And he watches out for the neighbors. And he goes, oh my God, they love those painted rocks. And so I said, well, tell me what you want. And I did a little whole series of a sunflower and a wagon wheel and a boot. And I didn't even know I could paint this stuff. Honestly, I'm not a painter. And I'm busting this stuff out. And Brian's like, wow, you're pretty good. I'm like, yeah, I didn't know I could paint. But okay.
This is like the start of your entrepreneur trip. I don't know.
Right. So anyways, I was giggling. I was like, all right, talk to him. And he's, oh my God. He goes, my mom and aunt, they love that stuff. And I did a whole series for them, and I brought them all those rocks. So it was my own volunteering. And what's interesting is that I tell my kids all the time, when you feel sad, do something nice for someone else. Is that a formal volunteering at a nonprofit? No, but it is serving. It's similar. It's really not any different. You're giving your time to do something for someone else, which is what volunteering is, right? You're giving your time to serve other people. And so we'll talk about this a little bit later, but it seriously was popping in my head as we were talking about this now. And I went, well, I did take that time in those 6 months. I did just kind of take a breath, but I still was kind of serving. I was painting rocks and giving them to people. At the 6 month mark, I started a blog, and that was out for people. You know, it was just slowly kind of doing things.
Yeah.
With no expectation. Nobody was sending me a paycheck. Nobody was counting my hours. I was still serving, just in a very small capacity. And what? It worked.
But that's the key, Don. I love that you just said that. I think it doesn't have to be this grandiose thing. It may be small. You and I've talked about this before. Being active, doing something, is better than idleness. I mean, literally.
Oh, yes.
You can get stuck in your head, fretting over everything and not making a decision or doing anything. Or you can just make these small series of steps. And every time you take a step, a little more of the picture opens, and another step, a little more opens up. And I just think that's fantastic. It is about getting out there and doing. Listen, one of the things I got involved with right after I retired, inside my church, I'm at a men's group one night, and one of the leads of the group stood up and said, hey, we're looking for any volunteers that may be interested in helping people who are in a career transition state. Not just in the church, anyone in our community be allowed to attend these. It could be someone unemployed, underemployed, or just looking for more fulfillment. And Don, I remember going up to the guy, his name was Joel. And I said to Joel at the end, hey, listen, I just retired from active duty. You're talking about career transition. I haven't had to do a resume or interview for a job or anything like that in a really long time. So I don't know what value I would have. And Joel looked at me and he said, Jay, we would love to have you come attend a couple of our sessions I have a feeling you're going to bring a lot more to the table than you realize. That's all he said. Donna, funny enough, 6 months after I began getting involved with them, thinking I had nothing to offer, I was actually leading that effort. And we were helping people with how you find something you want to do, which is why this topic came up, because volunteering can be a great way to find something that you may want to do and you're just not aware right now. We were doing resume writing and teaching people how to interview and negotiate salary. So there's a great book, Donna. Can I just throw this out there real quick and turn back to you? There's a great book that we utilized in that program. It is a faith-based book, everybody. I'm just going to declare that up front. But it's a fantastic book for anyone in a transitional state. It's called 48 Days to the Work You Love. And it's by an author by the name of Dan Miller. And I have to tell you, it lays it out perfectly. And in that book, even Dan Miller talks about the importance of volunteering because it may create other opportunities that right now you're just simply unaware of. And I know that I sound like a broken record, but that's the whole point. What would you kind of bring forth around any of that, Donna?
Well, I'm going to say that my mind slipped back a little bit.
Yeah, that's
in okay. The military volunteering.
Yeah.
I forgot until just now that I volunteered at a homeless shelter when I was at Travis. And I probably gave 20, 30 hours a week plus nursing full time. That was, nobody led me to that. I found it. I don't even remember how I got into it, but I ended up doing all their, whatchamacallit, I'm blanking out, their Christmas. So at Christmas time, because there were families that were at the shelter and it was like a transitional housing place. They got like a month there. And so at Christmas time, I was the one that did all their Christmas events and tried to get the Christmas gifts donated and whatnot. And the year that I did it, they actually had to store away half of it because they got so much donation. It was pretty impressive. So I don't know that my mind slipped there. So I just realized, but it was what I was interested in.
Yeah.
I really liked that. So
I think that's fantastic.
I kind of jumped back there a little bit. Sorry.
No, I think that's okay, because I think this is, again, what organically happens as we're talking. And I think to our listeners, there's value in that, Donna. Let's say somebody is transitioning out. What are you passionate about? Are you passionate about working with youth? Are you passionate about the homeless? That certainly exist in every community. I hate to say that to greater or lesser degrees. It's sad, but true. Maybe you're wanting to just engage the community in a library, or maybe there's an activity that happens annually in your community that you're wanting to be a part of, and you don't even know where to go. So, you know, the place to start is just by asking questions. But I thought what you just brought in is fantastic, Don. I think when it is something you're passionate about, or at least curious about, that is a great place to start. But let's say, Donna, there's still somebody on active duty right now that's 12 months out from transitioning. They think it's coming. Maybe there's a annual Patriot Day event that your post or installation is hosting. That's the 9/11 Remembrance Day, if you will.
Yeah.
And maybe that's something you're a patriot and you're like, man, that really, you know, resonates with me. Well, go find out who's heading that up and find out how you can get involved in some way, because I promise you there's nuances to every event that requires somebody's creativity and thought energy and to help it be successful. And you having a desire to get involved is better than you being voluntold to do
well, and to learn the behind the scenes of what it takes to make something happen.
Yeah.
I mean, that's invaluable. I mean, when I worked at the shelter, I mean, I got to see the grant writing and what it took to launch new programs and where they were like down to their last $500 and hoping that the grant came through and how they were thrifty. And I learned all of that stuff. I mean, it stuck with me for years and years.
That is fantastic. And that made me think of just two really quick ones. I served on a source selection committee one time, 3 months. I was unplugged from my active duty position. This was when I was voluntold. This was when I was a senior captain, by the way. 3 months, I had to work at an offsite location reviewing contract proposals to hire somebody to come in and do work for the government. So we're reviewing all these submissions. And something that came from that, Donna, was there was a senior consulting firm that was helping us with that effort. I'm going to not mention their name. And actually, there were a couple. And when I went into it, even though I was voluntold, I was still going to give it my full effort, all of my attention, give my best. I will tell you that on two different occasions, I had two of those different consulting firms talk to me and say, hey, I don't know when you may choose to leave the uniform, but when that day comes, we'd like you to reach out to us because we'd really like to talk to you about joining our team. So there was something they saw in me. So there's an opportunity that was born from something I didn't want to do, but I love having opportunities, Donna. That's one. And the other one I'd tell you real quick is an annual awards committee helping pull all of that together. There's so many moving pieces. I will tell you today, I consider myself to be an above average event planner because of what I learned from doing those
activities. Right.
On base. And I have people commenting all the time. Jay, where'd you learn to do this? In the military, I had opportunities to do X, Y, and Z. So back to you, Donna.
No, it's true. And it's funny because since I got out, trying to navigate, there's a lot of opportunities. I mean, as soon as you start uncovering them, more and more come your way. And that's what's happening to me right now. So I joined the chamber, compliment to Jay. Join the chamber. Yeah. And then the next thing you know, the library board's interested in having me part of the board. And it lines up with kind of what is going on in my life. And so I'm like, okay, maybe that'll be an opportunity. And I'm interested in it for specific reasons. I want to learn this or that. There's nothing wrong with having an intention on going to do something. As long as it remains altruistic and not an ulterior motive, then it's all good. Like, for example, the other thing I tell people too is internships, a lot of them, it's volunteer opportunities because a lot of internships are teaching you specific skills and they ain't paying you.
That's right.
I mean, sometimes they do, but if they are, it's sure the heck isn't a lot. So I remember I had interviewed somebody for the book I'd written, and on this person's journey, they got out of the military. After they got out of the military, they were trying to figure out what they wanted to do. And he had a little group of friends and they were throwing out different ideas. But prior to starting any business, he wasn't sure what he wanted to do and how he wanted to do it. He started doing internships at different places and he got to learn the behind the scenes, right? So it gave the location some volunteer opportunity. He got to learn some business sense in it. And then he got to go on and start his own business from what he had learned. So there is a win-win in the volunteerism. So it's not just you serving, it's people receiving what you're giving, right? It's also you learning, and it's you providing help to the nonprofit or to the company or to wherever you want to be. There's a whole symbiotic thing going on there that it's not just. It's not about you, right? It really comes down to it. Yeah. It's not about you, but you are getting benefit from it.
Yeah, you just made a quote. Man, I can't speak today. A quote made a quote resonate with me. And I know that surprises all of you because y'all know I bring quotes in often, but the quote is from Zig Ziglar. And he said, you can have anything in life you want as long as you're willing to help enough other people get what they want. So I've probably have said that one before on a prior episode, but I think what you were touching on there, Donna, back to this volunteering and why it's important. Listen to me, everybody. I agree with Donna wholeheartedly. You want to go into it with a right heart. No, it shouldn't be about ulterior motives, but let me say that there's another side of that beach ball. There's also nothing wrong with making yourself well-rounded, meaning you get involved because you're wanting to enhance, increase, expand your repertoire, your skill set, your toolbox, whatever you want to say in that regard. And at some point in transition, you can darn sure bet you're going to have to talk about where you've been a team player, where you've done things above and beyond just what you were expected to do. And to me, when you go out and volunteer, you do show that there is another part of you that is willing to roll up your sleeves and engage because there was a need. And listen to me, why does a volunteer opportunity exist? Because a need exists. And I think most companies, most organizations, for-profit, nonprofit, small business, Fortune 100, people want people who are problem solvers. They want people who are well-rounded. They want people who are team players. And really, that's where these volunteer opportunities come into play. And that's the way that I've always approached it. And so I love what you just brought in. And you're exactly right, Donna. You joined a chamber that I'm in. I didn't have to arm twist you, just to be clear. You were pretty willing.
I was.
But inside that chamber, it led to you having a conversation with somebody who happens to be the chair of a board of directors for a local library. She liked you in that initial conversation, has now invited you to join their board of directors. And you've got a book that's getting ready to come out. And you're an author. So there is a lot of symbiotic kind of relational things that are happening there. But isn't that funny? Your willingness to say, okay, I'm going to go get involved here and do this. And it's kind of outside of anything I've ever done. And look what it's done for you.
Yeah. And it just kind of keeps rolling. You know what I mean? I mean, I just told you before we came on to record is that somebody reached out to me and wanted to talk about another project that they think, you know, I might be interested in. And that happens to you all the time. Oh yeah. They've contacted me to see if I'm interested in this or interested in that podcast. We do this because we want to engage. We want to educate. We want to share. We want to interact. Right. And so we do this. We don't get paid a dime for it. And we're totally fine with that. It's a great experience. I'm learning a ton about podcasting. I hear with my cute little microphone and all that good stuff. I mean, I was never on my radar, never thought of doing it. And now here we are, right?
Yeah, I love that a lot, Donna. And I think that's all we're really trying to do for our listeners today is just tee up in their mind opportunities that exist. So again, whether it's on a military installation, whether it's in your local community. I named a few off, Donna. Maybe you have some. I'll just do a quick flyby. When y'all hear me say civic organization, I start thinking about things like Rotary Club, Lions Club, Kiwanis. There's three examples. You've got churches in your local community, probably a library in your local community. Who else uses volunteers, Donna? Is the world you came out of. Don't hospitals have a lot of volunteers inside them as, I don't know if I'll call them patient advocates, but they may be people that are just there to serve and coffee and cookies, even if they need be.
Oh, there's everything from people handing books out. There's people that are transferring people from one location to another.
Yeah.
There's one of the sweetest things that I've seen are grandparents or older generations. They'll either make little outfits for the babies, or they'll come in and do kangaroo care for some of these babies. Let's say the parents have to be away for some reason or what something's going on, and they'll come in and hold some of the babies. I mean, there's tons of volunteer opportunities and they love it. Or at even on base, right? Pharmacy, those are all volunteers there, right?
Truth.
All the older generations that are they volunteer.
Now they're not filling the prescriptions. That's still
no.
a trained, licensed, certified pharmacist. But they're able to do the other part, right? At the windows, hand out those kinds of things.
Yep.
What else, Don? Anything else outside of that realm that you can think of? I mentioned civic organizations and a couple of public entities like a library, a city library, and we just brought a health administration and has some opportunities. What else?
So there's a lot of people that like to help with wounded warriors. There are so many nonprofits that help wounded warriors in different capacities.
Yeah.
Some of it is financial based, helping them. Some of that is helping renovate their house. Like somebody that's an amputee that now needs renovations in their house. Habitat for Humanity, even if you don't want to go military, you just want to go Habitat for Humanity. And they go out and they're having opportunities, building houses for people. I mean, a good friend of mine is biking. This is no joke. She's biking and raising money to help build houses in Mexico. Mm. And the way there's like a whole process that the family has to give 200 hours. There's like a whole criteria, but she is biking from Arizona to Mexico.
Wow.
And then they get there and they're going to be there for however long, and they build the house and they raise money. It's all volunteer and they raise money for it. And she absolutely loves it. I've helped donate a couple times. I mean, there are so many different ways to give. I know some people might think, God, do I have the time? It doesn't have to be in large capacities. It, like I said, the people that knit the little baby outfits for, you know, the hospitals, you can do that at home in your free time. Bring it in when you want to. There's a thousand different ways that you can give back.
Well, you're talking about building homes. It makes me think of Habitat for Humanity.
That's what I just said. Habitat for Humanity.
Oh, yeah.
Can you hear me?
No, I missed it somehow, but maybe because I started reflecting on, I volunteered for Habitat for Humanity and I was not excited about it. Somebody asked me to join in my greed, but I thought, you're lucky I know how to find a fuse box in my home. But they teach you, they help you, and you learn as you're out there. But I mentioned Big Brothers, Big Sisters. There's assisted living homes in your area who would love to have volunteers come in and interact with those that are staying at that facility. That would be amazing.
There is, I learned this from one of the service members I took care of. It was his wife. She's a social worker. You can go to orphanages and you can basically be like, I don't know what the right term is. I don't want to say surrogate parent, but you bring them on the weekends. So they're not there. They come with you on the weekends. And if you guys go out and do things and whatnot, and so they're doing their thing during the week, and on the weekend, you bring them with you. So these kids have a sense of family, right? There's also fostering pets, right? I mean, the Jay and I have helped with a nonprofit here. And actually our parent podcast here, Coming Home Well, is huge into companion pets. They actually have a big initiative going on right now that if you are a veteran and you go to a shelter and you find a pet that you want, they will actually cover the adoption fees.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And if you go on the Coming Home Well homepage, it's all right there. And so you can go volunteer at pet shelters. You can be a foster parent for pets. My God, it's like endless, isn't it? I mean, there's so many things to do. And what I kind of go back to is that everybody wins. You learn, they get help, and the people that you're serving are getting help. I mean, how do you go wrong, right?
Yeah. I just want to share three quick things and then I'll turn back to you to wrap us up. I think, Donna, that when you're talking about everybody wins right there, maybe you've heard this said, the toughest people to lead are volunteers, right? Because you don't have any influence or control over them per se. So you're going to have to create that. You're going to have to really develop it. Build a relationship, and people have to be willing to follow you. So I will tell you that I'm a far more effective leader today because of some volunteering opportunities I've had in the past where I was able to lead. There's no doubt about it. That's helped me. The other thing I would just say is to all of you listening, the real thing that I hope you take away from this is we don't want you to just sit idle. To not know is not a good reason to just sit stuck in your home and saying, well, I don't know what to do next, because there are people out there that can help you. And as I think back to a library, or maybe there's a community center, if you don't know the type of opportunities that are out there, those are two good places to start. Surely they know about things going on in the community that they could make an introduction or give you a name and number that you could call and just introduce yourself and say, hey, I'm wanting to learn more about. So you're not even committing there. You're just wanting to learn more about. So I hope you found some good in us just talking about what can come from it. Donna, what would you say to kind of land this plane and tie it all up together today?
So I am going to do a quote today. I'm going to do a Jay and do a quote. And this is actually a quote by Mother Teresa. We ourselves feel that what we are doing is just a drop in the ocean, but the ocean would be less because of that missing drop. Mm. So of all people, right, she is probably, she's not just Mother Teresa, she's like the mother of volunteerism and serving. And I mean, you can't get better than that. So even in our thoughts of maybe we're just doing a tiny bit, you have no idea the impact that you're leaving. And you may not always be privileged to see that impact. Very rarely are we, but you never, ever know And if you get that opportunity and you're blessed with that opportunity, somebody can tell you, hey, you impacted when you said this or you did that, you know? Yeah. What more is there to say? I mean,
it's really good. Yeah, it's really good. Everybody, on behalf of Donna Hoffmeyer and myself, Jay Johnson, we just want to say thanks for tuning in, and we hope that you'll share this out with other people. We look forward to talking with you in a future episode.
Thanks for listening to Beyond the Frontline, a podcast of Coming Home Well. Join us every other Wednesday. And if you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. Follow us on Instagram at @ComingHomeWell_BTS or on Twitter at @ComingHomeWell. Thanks again. And until all are home and all are well.